Hello and welcome to the Iran Podcast. I'm Negar Murtazavi in Washington, D.C. In this episode, we talk about art diplomacy between Iran and the United States and the challenges of representing young Iranian artists here in America. My guest today is Roya Khajavi, a curator and art consultant and owner of the Roya Khajavi Projects, who specializes in emerging and mid-career contemporary Iranian artists. She's based in New York and is joining me today. Roya, welcome to the Iran Podcast.
Thank you, Negar. I'm very happy to be with you and sharing some of my experience.
It's great to have you. So let's first talk about your curating work in general. Tell us a little overview of what Roya Khajavi Project does and the kind of art representation that you've been doing over the past few years.
Sure, I'll be happy to. I started curating in 2014, where I had my first exhibit showcasing young Iranian artists who were born, educated, and lived in Iran. Most of them, they were born in Iran after the revolution. So their experience and their work and their education was solely past revolution. And for the past 7 years, I have represented many young Iranian artists in Iran and in the diaspora. Most of my exhibitions have been group exhibitions, thematic on the works of these artists. And I have also had some solo shows, which were more like a retrospective of their work, a special new body of work that they had worked on especially for my exhibitions.
Mm-hmm. And talk about a little bit about the artists that you represent and some of the most recent exhibits that you've planned or you're planning for the near future.
I have worked with over 50 Iranian artists, young Iranian artists. But I would say that I worked regularly with about 25 to 30 artists on a regular basis. And I picked them through my studio visits, whether it was in Iran or in outside of Iran. Sometimes I follow them on Instagram, and when I feel that they are ready and have done an interesting and substantial body of work, I contact them and visit them and discuss potential representations. They're usually in their 30s and 40s and have done some substantial and consistent bodies of work. They have an identity, I would say, and they're consistent and they have a consistent point of view in their art. So many of these artists have shown with galleries inside Iran, and some of them, very few outside Iran, they have gallery representations. But they have all had amazing educations in Iran, and some of them came out for their masters of fine arts to the United States or European countries. And they have attended art residencies, they have won prizes, they've also, some of them have been represented in various countries' biennales, they had some museum shows. So we're talking about people that at least have had a career. They're not brand new artists, you know, who have just graduated from university.
Mm-hmm. And talk about your mission. How did you decide basically to pick this specific group of artists and to spotlight and represent these young artists, emerging artists from Iran?
It's a very good question. I decided to represent Iranian emerging artists because they are underrepresented, and because they're very talented and they have very good experiences and some hardships and difficulties when they were growing up. And that when artists have difficulties and hardships, they create fantastic art. And I've had this experience with some of the Cuban artists I've represented in the past. So their work is very exciting. It's very powerful and challenging. And I believe that Iranian emerging artists are seldom represented in the US, and they have better representation, I would say, in Europe because of the contact, and especially in the Middle East. I have a lot of the Iranian artists that have had shows in Dubai. Their Iranian galleries have represented them in Art Dubai. A lot of them have had representations in Beirut, Lebanon, but and in Germany, France, and England, and some in Belgium. But in the United States, really, these representations fall through the crack. And I've made it my mission to make it easier for these artists to have exhibitions in the United States. And I have worked very hard to showcase their work professionally to create a platform that is interesting, a program that is interesting for those who really have no idea about Iranian art.
Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you about the challenges and difficulties of this work a little bit later. But first, I want to ask you about the interest. How much interest and market is there for Iranian artists that you're representing in the West, specifically here in the mm-hmm. U.S.? And you're in the center of it. You're in New York City.
Yes. I'm lucky to be in New York City, which is the center of contemporary art. So, you know, it would be the best place to start representing these artists. The U.S. market, unfortunately, is very unfamiliar with Iranian art. And those who had the cultural backgrounds and had been able to visit Iran in the 60s and 70s, we're very much familiar with the modernists, and they know those artists from Iran very well. And actually, their works are represented, you know, from Centre Pompidou to MoMA and to the Gray Gallery, which represents Mrs. Gray's collection of amazing Iranian art. And then there is a second generation of Iranian artists who are a little bit older, and they have made it outside outside Iran. And with those, I would mention people like Shirin Neshat, who's with Gladstone Gallery, Shiraz Hoshiari, who's with Lehman Maupin in New York, YZ Kami, with Gagosian, and Ali Bani Sad with Tadeusz Hopak, Puran Jinchi with the Third Line. These are all very respectable grade A top galleries. And I'm very proud that some of these second generation of Iranian artists are represented by them. But few artists of the younger generations have permanent representations in the United States. That's why I have made my mission to represent them and showcase their talent. And I want to say that I'm like the first platform for showcasing their works. And I try very hard to get them as much press and exposures as possible and represent them in international art fairs. My intention is not to really hold on to them forever. I want to create a career for them. I want to launch their career. I want to put them on the map so that they can be picked up by other galleries worldwide and get to the next level, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I've actually been to some of your shows in New York City. I remember the first one you did back in the days, and the artists and the works have been very interesting to follow at the shows and then from distance over the years. But I want to also ask you about the challenges and the difficulties of working with Iranian artists, of representing these emerging artists from Iran, who some of them live in Iran, some of them live in the diaspora, the challenges that you faced over these past few years doing this kind of work.
Yes, the challenges are many, unfortunately, but that makes the work so much more exciting. And, you know, when you achieve something and are successful, it makes it so much sweeter. I would say there are a few challenges. One is that the international audience is not very familiar with Iranian arts because of the isolation of the country for the past 42 years with the West and especially with the United States. So the audience needs to be educated. So that's the first challenge. And for that, I spent a lot of time choosing critics, art critics who can write about their work in international publications and, you know, have non-Iranian writers do the catalog essays that would bring their own point of view, their Western point of view, which is different from ours. And I, you know, really welcome that in all of the, my efforts. The second challenge, I would say that obviously the sanctions against Iran have made everything difficult to deal in Iranian art, from transportation to payment to the availability of the artists to come and attend their own openings because of visa problems and issues like that. So these have been extremely hard and disappointing, I would say, for the young artists who work very hard on a body of work. Then they cannot be there to take in the glory and see the reactions of the audience. So I would say those two are my biggest challenges. The fact that because there is very little representations of young Iranian artists throughout the West right now, and because of the tough relationship between Iran and the West, the audience has a preconceived idea about Iran, and sometimes they might think, you know, why would I buy a piece of art from a country that is our foe? But I try very, very hard to be a diplomat in a way, to explain a lot about the works, about the artists, the challenges, the lifestyle, etc., because I have been able to go back to Iran for many times since the revolution and have seen it with my own eyes. So I can really depict the picture and bring a lot of information to this audience who's really not educated.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you mentioned this dimension of politics. I want to get a little more into how politics, U.S. sanctions, and the lack of relations between Iran and the U.S. are impacting your work, because essentially, when we hear about these sanctions or the maximum pressure campaign and all of that, it's supposed to be targeting the state. It's supposed to be targeting the nuclear program. It's supposed to be targeting, you know, the government's bad policies. And you don't realize how much impact it has on ordinary Iranians. And in this specific case, young artists who are living in Iran, they have almost nothing to do with these policies of the government. And essentially what you're doing is an unofficial art diplomacy representing between the two countries. But talk about these challenges a little more, how specifically, for example, sanctions and this lack of relations is impacting your day-to-day work when you need to represent the artist or bring the art or any other issue that someone who sees the end product might not realize?
Yeah, this is a very, very apropos and very good question, Negar. The sanctions have impacted my work tremendously. You know, I would say that the past 4 years during the Trump administrations, when all the sanctions included art, I was not able to bring artwork out of Iran to the United States. Yeah, so I solely worked for the past few years with my artists who live in diaspora. Artists who live in the US, some in Europe, Paris, London, and Germany, and all over the United States, from Atlanta to San Francisco to LA to Washington, DC, New York, and Boston. Mm-hmm. So I have concentrated on showing the Iranian arts because most of these artists were educated in Iran, so they have migrated after. So they do have a deep root about their culture, and it's always shown within their work. So I have taken advantage of that, but I have not been able to bring any serious amount of artwork from Iran to the United States. During Obama's administration, contemporary art was exempt from the sanctions. So mm-hmm. I could buy artwork in Iran, ship it very easily to New York, and exhibit it in my shows. That, unfortunately, I have not been able to do for a while.
Mm-hmm. And I want to also ask you about the impact of this political animosity between the two countries, or the lack of relations and Iran's isolation on the actual artists living in Iran. How this isolation from the US, from the Western market, travel restrictions, visas, all of these hurdles, how and then generally the situation, the state of the economy in the country, how has this impacted the young artists living in Iran and their access to the outside world?
Well, I think the isolation of Iran from the US and the West has negatively impacted everybody's life in Iran, mm-hmm. including the artists. And for the artists who basically produce a luxury product, and it goes to certain percentage of the population, as that percentage of population that has disposable income gets reduced, which it has happened in Iran during the economic downturn, they lose a lot of clientele. In addition, because of the inflation, the prices of their work would have to increase like 3 to 5 folds. And suddenly from 1 year to another year, they are dealing with a totally different bracket of price. So this is the image that happens in Iran. You know, they are not going to be able to sell as much work, and their work has to be priced a lot higher that might price them out for the emerging artists. At the same time, they are negatively impacted because, as I said, I cannot bring their work anymore to the US to showcase their work. So obviously they have lost some of their market outside the country. In addition, they cannot travel. They cannot access to the world market due to their visa issues. They cannot attend any of their openings in the US or the West, which is very upsetting for an artist because they live for their audience and this communication with their audience. And, if any of the work is sold, I mean, how are you going to send the money back to Iran, you know? So because of the sanction and all these banking laws. So they are really stuck between a rock and a hard place. And for now, until the new administration takes some action on these, there's not much we can do.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Roya Khajavi, a curator, an art consultant, and owner of Roya Khajavi Projects, who specializes in emerging and mid-career contemporary artists from Iran. And Roy, I want to get back here in the U.S. and your work and ask you about some of the common misperceptions about Iranian art, Iranian artists, especially young artists, emerging artists, that you've encountered throughout your work, especially here in the U.S.?
Uh-huh. That's a very good question, too. But to be honest, there is so little understanding and knowledge of Iranian art in the U.S. that it's very hard for them to determine what concept they believe in or what form they think Iranian art takes. So the foreign audience is always amazed by the quality and variety of the ideas and the performances and the mediums that Iranian artists have shown. When I work with them and show their works in my show, so they're always amazed and they can't believe that these artists are so intellectually up to date and that they can create such amazing artwork that comes from the heart.
Mm-hmm. And I've also I see you represent a lot of young women artists, and there's also misconceptions about that. Is there? Oh, there are women artists in Iran, or can women go to art school in Iran? It's things that I've also heard many times here in the U.S. But how do you think your work and basically this arts and cultural exchange, or this informal diplomacy in general that you've been doing, is contributing to better understandings between Iranians and Americans? I know it's sort of a cliche question, but I really do believe that it's contributing to a very lack of understanding between the two nations. But how do you see this impacting?
I'm going to answer the first part of your question first, which related to female artists and female artist representation. Yes, you're absolutely right. I am a feminist and I'm pro representation of female artists, especially when I see the quality of their work. Mm-hmm. Yes, at the beginning, there were people who would ask me, female artists can go to art school, and are they allowed to create art and so on and so forth? And, you know, they don't ask those questions anymore. Mm-hmm. Those who do are, they're not knowledgeable about the fact that the Iranian women have a lot of power. They're intellectually up there. They're very well educated, etc., etc. These questions don't come up anymore. But the fact that I do represent many women artists and that I promote their work, it's true, because I believe that they need an extra push, especially in the art world, which is very male-dominated and white male-dominated. Mm-hmm. Whether it's gallerists or artists or curators or museum directors, it's a very male-dominated industry. To answer the second question, which is what have I been able to achieve by this artistic representation, which I believe is a soft power. Mm-hmm. And through it, through artistic diplomacy and cultural exchange, I've seen over and over what happens and how people react when this cultural exchange happens. You can really positively impact people and change negative perceptions and impressions that people have on Iran. When they see somebody professional, when they see professional artists, when they see beautiful works, quality works, all of this changes the interpretation and their ideas, because honestly, the Western press has done such a bad job representing our country in such a negative way. Mm-hmm. That, you know, everybody thinks of Iran with black chadors and women that are under the thumb of male, their husbands, their fathers, and so on. I mean, which does exist, but there is a lot of positive, educated, talented people there.
Mm-hmm. We always talk about this with journalist colleagues, about that stock photo of the woman in the black chador passing mm-hmm. by the former U.S. Embassy in Tehran with a image of a big Satan on the wall that you see in many, many articles about Iran. I also want to ask about your life story. You first lived in Iran and then came here to the U.S. I want to know a little more about your story and how you reconnected with Iran at some point and started to go back and get involved with this cultural exchange.
You know, I was born in Tehran and I lived there until I was 17 years old. I went to a French school, so French and Farsi were the first two languages that I was fluent with, and I learned English later on in seventh grade and so on. And I came to university in the United States. I was educated, and I'm an American educated. Mm-hmm. And after the revolution, honestly, I did not go back to Iran for 30 years. The first time I left was 79, and when I returned was 2009, so 30 years almost to the day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very hard to lose your roots once you were born and bred in a country. And I was not too young to forget everything. I had a lot of great memories of my country, of Iranian people, of the art and culture, etc. So when I returned, I welcomed it. And I saw that, yes, the country has changed a lot. Tehran is so large that it's unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you see the kindness and the warmth of the people. And you see a lot of women that have become entrepreneurs. You see a lot of educated people who know what they're talking about. And you also see a lot of negative things, like, you know, people that are in La La Land, honestly. But overall, I was very, very much impressed. And I started traveling a lot in Iran and discovered many of the provinces that I did not know. And that also brought me to the real people of the villages, small towns, and also the ability to visit historical buildings, museums, etc. And I really started appreciating everything again. And that was sort of the light switch. And I said, okay, I'm ready for a second career. There's so much beauty and talent in Iran. I'm going to go back and start a business and represent Iranian artists.
Mm-hmm. And you've been doing such a great job, but also talk about your previous career. You mentioned this is your second career, and I know you've been involved in a sort of different, not completely irrelevant, but a different field. Talk about that and how you eventually made the switch.
Yes, my career, my first career was in the fashion business, and I worked in fashion for 20 years, and the last 7 years as vice president of sales and marketing for North America for Yves Saint Laurent, the clothing company. And throughout the 20 years that I worked in marketing and sales, you know, my eye was used to editing, because I had to edit collections. I had to bring them from France to the US for sales, for fashion shows, etc., etc. So it was a very big part of my job. Besides the business end of it, which was marketing and sales, I had to really be able to be a good selector. Mm-hmm. And I would say that in 2003, I started collecting artwork, contemporary artwork, and very little of it was Iranian art. I started my collection with a lot of American, European, South American artists based on three different themes that exist in my collection. And then I started adding Iranian artists such as Puran Jinchi, YZ Kami, Shiraz Hushyari, Shirin Neshat, etc. to my collection. And once I went to Iran, I started a major collection of contemporary young artists, which one day I hope to donate to a museum because it has become a very nice collection. And meanwhile, I was also very much involved in art in general, which was a nonprofit art foundation. And, you know, I was a co-chair of Monir Farman Farmayan's exhibition at the Guggenheim. I was involved with Asia Society. I was on the committee for Iran Modern. And many other things. I was on the Middle Eastern Committee of the Guggenheim. So I had a lot of connection with the museum people, with the nonprofit organizations in the art. And my point and job was very much in pushing the Iranian artists program through these museums, as were many others in the groups. So between those contacts and me collecting, having a good relationship with the galleries, and at the same time spending a lot of time studying these contemporary artists, I decided that I could do a fair job to start this business. And then it became much more successful and visible than what I had expected. So yes, I'm very happy to have been doing this for the past 7 years and going strong.
Mm-hmm. And you've been doing an amazing job, and you call it a business, but I also think it's really a service to the community, both Iranians back in Iran and also Iranian Americans. And I finally want to ask you about your hopes for the future. There's a new administration here in Washington, and it seems like U.S.-Iran relations are going to take a turn and be different than what they were in the Trump years. So what are your hopes for the future of Iranian art, U.S.-Iran relations? As a person who is, first of all, you're an Iranian American and also an unofficial ambassador, an art ambassador between these two countries.
Well, my hope is that the new administration would find a way to come to terms with Iran over the nuclear deal. And once that is settled, I think that all of these sanctions will disappear little by little. I mean, it will take time, some years, for all of these sanctions to be lifted. I think it's not an easy task. But I think that with the goodwill from both sides, this should happen. And in the long term, it's going to really free Iran from this tight corner they've put in. And, you know, everybody, especially the young generations, will be able to breathe. And I pray, honestly, and I'm very hopeful that this time nothing gets in the way, and that we will be able to have this deal signed and go forward.
Well, on that note, Royojan, I want to thank you so much for joining the Iran podcast and sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Negar, for having me. It was a pleasure talking to you.
That was Roya Khajavi, a curator and art consultant and owner of Roya Khajavi Projects, who specializes in emerging and mid-career contemporary artists from Iran. And thank you for listening to another episode of the Iran Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app and follow us on Twitter at Iran Podcast. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/theIranPodcast and clicking on support. Until next time, goodbye.